Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
You guys remember Transformers? They were robots in disguise. So there were these toys where it would be like a building, a toy building, but if you knew how to transform it, you could make it into like a toy robot, which is good because having a toy building is not that much fun. You know, what do you do with a toy building? It's like, it's Monday morning, the people are coming back to work. You know, I don't know what you do with a toy building, but if you could, you could change it to a robot, and that's fun. I am a little too old. I missed the Transformer craze, which is good because I'm not very mechanical, and the couple times I've grabbed a Transformer and tried to transform it, I'll always make it in from like a building to just a really messed up looking building. I can't get it to be a robot. But, you know, one of the things that God is really good at is transformation. But what God specializes in is change. And he especially specializes in transforming people. Like, that's what God is all about. He's all about change. He's all about transformation. Taking a person, maybe a person who's been the same way their entire life, and kind of transforming that person and making them into something different and something a whole lot better. In fact, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we'll put on the screen, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It's saying that God begins this transformation by making you a new person. And it's not just like he adjusts some things, but I mean, he helps you to start like a brand new life with him. God is all about transformation. He's all about change. And what that means is that churches should be all about change, right? But when people ask, when people say, like, hey, what's your church all about? Change. Well, what happens in your church? Change. But what happens with the people in your church? They change, right? Churches should be all about change because God's all about change. But unfortunately, the reality is that, man, there are a lot of churches, most churches, that change is the last thing they're about. Nothing ever changes. The traditions don't change. Songs don't change. Sermons don't change. And worse, the people don't change. But God is all about change. He's all about transformation. One of the transformations that God specializes in is turning the ordinary into the extraordinary. God turns the ordinary into the extraordinary. And we see him do this all throughout the Bible. Mostly we see him do it with people, tons of people. Like one great example is there are these two guys named Peter and John. Peter and John were fishermen. They were just ordinary guys back then. You know, they weren't especially educated. They weren't very talented. You know, they weren't anything special. They're just ordinary guys. But Jesus chose those two guys to be two of the 12 of his closest followers and friends, his disciples. And so they spend time with Jesus, and they're close to him, and they start to change, they start to get transformed. And Jesus trains them up so that when he leaves, they become two of the leaders of his church to kind of establish God's kingdom here on earth so we get to experience it now. And there's an interesting thing that happens because at that time, there was this group of people, these religious leaders called the Pharisees, and they were not about change. They were not about transformation. Despite the fact that they considered themselves to be God's servants and they viewed themselves as the protectors of the faith, I guess they had forgotten what the God who they thought they served was all about because they were not about change. Part of the reason is because they were in positions of power. And they felt like if things change, it might threaten their power. And so the last thing they were about was change. Well, the Pharisees started getting very disturbed because these guys that Jesus had trained up, these ordinary guys, start doing extraordinary things. I mean, things are changing, and they're very upset about it. And so in the Bible, in Acts chapter 4, if you have a Bible with you today, you can turn to Acts chapter 4. If not, man, don't worry about that. We'll put the verses on the screen today. But if you don't own a Bible, we'd love to give you one as a free gift. Stop by the Velcro bar on your way out and grab a Bible. This is our gift to you. But in Acts chapter 4, what happens is these Pharisees, the religious leaders, they actually arrest, and they had the power to do this back then, they arrest Peter and John because they're changed, and they're changing things, and they're helping people to change. And so they arrest them because they're helping people. Like, that's the charge you want against you, I guess. But and so they bring them in, and they threaten them. They say, you are not to talk about Jesus anymore. We don't like all this upheaval that you're causing, and you're not to help people in Jesus' name anymore. We don't like all this change. And if you continue, it's going to be bad for you. And Peter and John say, sorry, but we're not going to stop. God's all about change. He's all about transformation. He's changed us. And we're going to continue to share the change that other people can experience in their lives. We're going to continue to help people to change. And we're not going to stop. And look what the Bible says in verse 13 of Acts chapter 4. It says, when they is the religious leaders, the Pharisees, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They were blown away. They couldn't understand, how are these guys doing this kind of thing, and where do they get this courage from that they won't stop? They were astonished, and it says, they asked this question, how are they like this? How have they been changed in this way? How are two ordinary guys doing such extraordinary things? And the answer, the only explanation for it was, they've been with Jesus. See, when you hang out with Jesus, when you get close to Jesus, you change. That's what happens. You get transformed. It's kind of cool. What they say is, you know, so they say, how could these unschooled, ordinary guys? Now, the word in the original language of the Bible that we have translated as ordinary is the word idiotes. Does anybody want to guess what word we get in English from the word idiotes? Idiots. Really, what they said, exactly what they said was, how are these unschooled idiots doing this? How can unschooled idiots lead this revolution of love? How are they doing such extraordinary things? They're idiots. When I hear that, it makes me think that we have a biblical church, because when I look around this room, I'm just being honest, I see a bunch of idiots, and I'll tell you, when I look in the mirror, I see the biggest idiot of all, and I'm like, okay, we got kind of a biblical church here, you know? We're a bunch of idiots. But really, think about this. When Jesus came, and he has this huge mission, he's going to start this love revolution. He is going to bring God's kingdom to earth so people can experience God and his love and start to live the life that he has for them. Who does he choose to be the leaders of this movement? Who does he choose to say, man, why don't you follow me so that we can do this together? He chooses uneducated fishermen. He chooses corrupt tax collectors. He chooses some prostitutes. He says, you guys can join this. You can be a part of this. Isn't that something? Who Jesus chose? He chose these people so that together they could turn the world upside down. And you know, that's the exactly backwards way from what the world does, right? They try to get the best and the brightest, the most talented and educated, right? Like, if you volunteer to serve in the U.S. Army or the U.S. Air Force, you have to be healthy, or they say, sorry, you can't serve because you're not healthy. But Jesus came and he said, I want the unhealthy. Like, come to me, you who are sick. I want people who are shunned. I want the ostracized. I want the looked down upon. These are the people I want to lead my movement. Jesus chose ordinary people. I wonder why. Why does God choose the ordinary? I don't know, but I wonder if maybe it's because when you choose an ordinary person, they're just more likely to believe what you say. I think the ordinary people were just more likely to believe what Jesus said. Because Jesus said some outlandish things, you know? And maybe you have to be a little bit naive and ordinary to accept it. Like, Jesus said things like, if you really want to find life, you have to lose your life. Just give it away. He said things like, if you want to be the greatest of all, you have to become the least of all. Just like, be a servant to everyone else. He said things like, if you really want to change the world, let go of the things that you've been holding so tight to and open your hands and live a generous life. And maybe these ordinary people were just naive enough to go, huh, it makes sense. I'll try it. I believe what you say. I don't know, but I know this. when Jesus gave those kind of messages to the religious people, to the elite people, to the educated people, to the people who thought that they were kind of special, you know what they said? That's crazy. You know, the Pharisees and the priests and the religious leaders, when they heard Jesus' message of lose your life and give your life away, they said, that's dangerous. People don't live that way. That's not what we do around here. And who didn't Jesus choose? He didn't choose religious leaders. He didn't choose the Pharisees. He didn't choose the priests. You know, maybe Jesus chooses ordinary people because they're just more likely to believe what Jesus says. You know, they're more likely to believe that a miracle can happen. They're more likely to take Jesus at his word when he says, lose your life and I'll give you real life. And I wonder this, like about you and me. When's the last time you really believed Jesus for something supernatural? When's the last time you believed in God that he could really do something, that he could come into your life and transform you or transform your circumstances? When's the last time your faith really had a kind of supernatural element to it, that you were just naive enough to believe that God could do what God says he can do? Maybe Jesus chooses ordinary people and transforms them into extraordinary people because they're naive enough to take Jesus at his word. Or maybe it's not that. Maybe it's because it better highlights his greatness. You know, when God takes an ordinary person and makes them extraordinary, it's just undeniable. It's like, wow. You know, and maybe it's, you know, when God takes a person who's already kind of extraordinary and he transforms their life, maybe it's just a little bit more difficult to see. And so it doesn't highlight God's greatness as much. You know, maybe it's kind of like, man, you used to be really special, but since God's come into your life, you're even a little bit extra special. You know, you went from special to specialer. You know, maybe God likes to work in ordinary people's lives because people just go, wow, you know. There's a story in the Bible in John chapter 9 where there's this guy who's been blind from birth. He's just kind of the, you know, looked down upon and ostracized, and he's just nothing special at all. Well, Jesus comes along, and Jesus heals him, gives him sight, changes his life. Guess who didn't like that? The Pharisees, right? Because they don't like change. And we like, everything's good. We're in power. Let's keep everything the same. And all of a sudden, there's this guy walking around saying, man, I can see, you know, and Jesus did this for me. And they did not like that. They liked the status quo. And this was not status quo. And so they bring this guy in, basically, to the religious court kind of thing. And they're questioning him. And they're arguing with him. They're debating with him. And they're denying God. They're denying Jesus' power to do this. And this guy has a great comeback. Now, we'll put it on the screen, and you might recognize the words because somebody made it into a song that you've probably heard. But John chapter 9, verse 25, he says, one thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. And they all started singing, amazing. But listen, it's just undeniable, right? That's where the argument stopped. Because how do you argue with that? You can't. He was blind, and now he can see. Something happened. You know, transformation, it's just impossible to ignore, and it's impossible to deny. It's like the 400-pound guy you see wearing a T-shirt that says, I beat anorexia. It's like, you can't argue with that, man, right? It's like, okay, right? It's just, you know, when you see somebody's life who's been radically changed by God, it's like, that just kind of ends the argument. What do you say, right? It's undeniable. I think of my life. God has radically changed my life. I mean, before I came to Christ as a teenager in my early 20s, man, I was just this angry person, and man, I just fought with everybody. Physical fights, verbal fights. I tried to make people feel bad about themselves. I sold drugs. Just all this stuff, and I've been changed. And my mother, who is does not believe in God, denies that there is a God, she says to me all the time, she'll say, man, you have changed so much. You have really grown up. And I always say to her, no, I have not grown up. God came into my life, and he changed me. And she says, well, whatever it is, I like it. She can't argue with it, right? It's just change is undeniable. It's just undeniable when God does that in someone's life, you know? And God's been doing that here. See, change is not just something God did 2,000 years ago in the Bible and we read about it. Change is something God continues to be all about. He continues to transform people. And one of the favorite things he does, one of the things he specializes in, is transforming the ordinary into the extraordinary. We're doing this series called The Tribe. And we're just taking a couple weeks. It's an unusual series for us because, especially if you're new, you might be like, does that have anything to do with me? I'm not in this tribe. And I guess I apologize. Keep coming and we'll do series that apply more to your life. But for a couple weeks, we're just asking this question, who are we? Like together, what is Verve all about? What kind of tribe are we? And listen, one of the things we are is we are a transformed tribe. Right? We are a church. We are a tribe of people who are all about change because God's all about change, a place where change happens. We are a place where you do not and cannot stay the same because if you start getting close to Jesus and hanging out with him, you will be changed in a really cool way. And God's been doing this here for the last, our church is about a year and 10 months. I think of Paul Malouk. Paul's a guy who showed up here for our very first service now almost 2 years ago. And he's real honest and says, you know, before I came here, my life was just at a very low point. I felt like I didn't know where my life was at. I wasn't even sure if life was continuing, if living life was worth it, you know, to continue to live life. And so he shows up here, and he starts coming to these services, and we start meeting. And Paul is just like questioning and arguing and debating about what I teach and what the Bible says. But he's asking all these tough questions, but he continues to come. And so he's coming to our services, and then he goes to a few of our Verve University courses, and he continues to ask those tough questions, and he continues to read the Bible. What he starts to realize is that his questions are being answered, and he's starting to realize that, man, not only is God real, but God loves him. And God came for him in the person of Jesus, and God wants a relationship with him. And through that process, Paul finally reaches this decision, which was a hard decision. I want to do this. And so one day, Paul went out back in the parking lot, the Holy of Holies back there, and he got baptized and just kind of fell back into God's arms. And he immersed himself into a relationship with Jesus. And after that, he continued to show up here, and he continued to go to Verve University courses, and he got into a micro group. A micro group is his had three other guys who get together every week to encourage each other and just share life together and kind of keep each other accountable to man, let's really like live this life that we're talking about. So he gets in a micro group and this whole time he's been volunteering. He started out in the frontline ministry. He was preparing communion for our services. And then he got involved in the student ministry and then children's ministry, working with the elementary school kids. And then he started volunteering outside of Verve, helping to lead a support group for teenagers. And finally, kind of looking back, Paul has this realization. I've changed. God has been working in my life. He's come into my life, and I am a transformed person. I'm not totally there yet, but God's really done something in my life. I've got a reason to live. I've got joy. I've got peace, even when life is crappy. And my life has been changed. That's what happens here. That's what our church is all about. It's all about transformation. And it's not just Paul. And this has been happening in all kinds of people's lives over these last almost 2 years. In fact, check this out.
Before I came to Verve, I had only been to two churches in my entire life, and attending those churches, I hated them. The people there just kind of freaked me out, and I just really didn't enjoy it at all.
I didn't have a great understanding of God.
I was going through a separation from my husband.
I was lost, wandering through life, just looking for direction, and couldn't find it anywhere else, and went to drugs.
I hadn't been at church since I was about 15.
I hadn't been in church in 28 years.
I said I'd never set foot in another hypocrite-filled church again.
Life was lonely.
I was one of those people that got anxious about everything and stressed over every little detail of my life.
I was the highest-ranking female in the skinhead movement, the junkie, for over 20 years. I was the absolute do-anything at any time for a group called The Order while they were in prison. Whatever they needed done on the outside, I done it.
I pretty much had no
direction, no purpose in life. I pretty much just partied as much as I could and did more drugs than I could probably even name.
I knew that some of the things I had done had guaranteed that God would have nothing to do with me.
I didn't know anything about the Bible.
I believed in God, but I didn't know God.
I was angry with God and anti-God and even more so angry and anti his followers.
Turned away. You know, I turned my back on God and, you know, even still being lost, not wanting to go back to him because fearful that he's just going to reject me and that I'm not good enough for him.
When I moved out here from Philadelphia, I got wrapped up in the Vegas lifestyle and, you know, and doing what I did and going out and partying and doing all that. And I always felt something was missing.
Wasn't really on any path for myself, you know, just doing what I thought was fun.
Anything that I could get a fix from, I did it, whether it was gambling, sex, partying, it didn't matter. Whatever made me feel complete that day is what I did.
I was a Vegas party animal, alcoholic, greedy, womanizer, and all this at the same time I was married, and my marriage was destroyed.
After coming to Verve, my life has become very different.
They were doing baptisms the next week, and I went home that night, and I couldn't get it out of my head that maybe that was something that I should do.
After I came to Verve, I was baptized. I fed 85 homeless people last year for Thanksgiving, 275 plus this year with help from other members of the church.
I learned a lot about what it means to help other people.
My relationship with God is amazing.
After coming to Verve, I have been baptized.
And when I came here, I realized that that spot that I was trying to fill was not having God in my life.
I love this church. I now have more meaning in my life. I was baptized here November 20th.
My husband and I are trying to salvage our marriage.
And I actually look forward to coming here every single week because I have such a good time.
I ended up also bringing my sister here and now my entire family that's out here with me.
Instead of getting frustrated, I turned to my Bible and I talked to God, and things in my life are just a lot different now.
Life is full. We have so much love and so much family here at Verve.
I learned that God loves me more than enough to forgive anything I could have done.
If me doing what I do here can make a difference in someone else's life, like this place made in my life, then I'll feel like it was actually a good thing to do.
I got baptized, feel like my life's changed, tried to set more goals in my life.
I now have a relationship with God, and I've been baptized, and God is now a part of our household and my marriage.
Came to realization that God still loves me, and that he's been searching for me this whole time.
In the 6 months since I was baptized, I've seen how God's changed the way I look at the world. He's changed my life. He's changed me.
My life got completely flipped upside down, and I found myself just losing the taste for these things that used to feel good.
I feel like it's good to believe in something that is higher than all of us.
After coming to Verve, I realized not all churches are full of hypocrites. I've met God, have a relationship with God, and have a much better family life.
Probably about 3 months into my duration at Verve, I got baptized.
I was taught what grace means, explained in greater detail, and actually got baptized.
Now today, I'm not lost. I've been found by God, and I'm back in his arms of love.
I was the first person baptized here at Verve.
I've changed my opinion drastically, and I'm a much better person, much happier person, and my life's greatly increased.
One of the worst years of my life has probably turned into one of the best years of my life.
I'm a full-time minister here in Las Vegas now with the Saint City Project, doing outreaches and discipleship all over the city.
My life has totally changed. I have a relationship with my sister and my family that I didn't have before, and I am 100% drug-free.
That's pretty cool. God is really doing something amazing here. He's taken the ordinary and he's transforming it into the extraordinary. He's touching and working in and changing people's lives. That's what our tribe is all about. And so I guess the question you should probably be asking is, well, how does that happen? How does God come in your life, and how does he transform your life? You know, and I guess it starts with a decision on our part. You hear a lot of people mentioning, you know, getting baptized. It's kind of a beginning point. A lot of people think it's an ending point, but it's kind of a beginning point in the process where somebody says, I want to enter into this journey with you, God. I want to start a life with your relationship with you. We've got two people today after our second service who are going to be doing that today, which is awesome. But God can change people in all kinds of ways. But what we've noticed now after almost 2 years of Verve is that there's a pattern that most people seem to follow here. There's just these kind of steps that seem to work in people's lives that it allows them kind of progressively to invite God into their life and see change happen. And so we're actually kind of have been working on kind of a diagram to show people, hey, how you can do it in different ways, but here's a process that works for a lot of people. And this visual is still a work in progress, but I want to show it to you and kind of walk you through it. And maybe you'll find yourself in it and realize what your next step is. And so we'll put it on the screen. The visual is supposed to be kind of a highway. And so we like it being a highway because that kind of connotes that it's a journey. You know, it's not something that happens overnight. It's not just a one-time thing. You get on this highway, and then it's going to happen over time, you know, as you journey through life with God. And the journey begins, the highway begins with weekend services, which is what we're sitting in right now. You know, our services right now we have on Sunday morning and Monday evening. And it's just a great starting place for most people because it allows you to come in and just kind of check things out at your own speed, you know. And if you want to be anonymous, you can totally be anonymous here. And so what we found is there are a lot of people who come in and they mostly don't believe in God. Mostly when people first walk through the doors here, they haven't been to church in a long time, if ever. And so they're not used to this, but there's something happening inside of them that maybe they've got some questions. Or maybe they've realized there's got to be something more to life. Or maybe they're looking for God. They're looking for a spiritual dimension and trying to figure it out. And so they show up here, and this is just a great place for people to start and just kind of get the process started. The second step in that diagram, let's just leave the diagram up the whole time, is Verve University. And so Verve University are these courses we offer. Most are 6 weeks long, and they're just a great next step because it allows you to get some of your questions answered, and it allows you to process through what this journey looks like and what are the next steps for me. And so it's also great because it's a smaller kind of format. You know, there might be 10 to 20 people in your class, and so it allows you maybe to ask some questions that you've had. In your Verve University class, it also allows us to start building friendships and relationships. Maybe, you know, you come at first, you're like, I don't want to know you people. I'm nervous. I just want to be anonymous. Sit in the back, but after a while you're like, okay, I think this is okay, and it might be nice to know a few people here. And so in a Verve University course, you'll get to know those 10 or 20 people. We break up a little bit into groups, and you might be in a group with 4 people and get to know them a little bit better. And so those Verve University courses are a great place to continue in the journey. If you have never yet attended a course, or even if you have, man, you totally need to do that. It is a great next step for you. Our next semester starts on Sunday, February 19th, and the classes are 6 weeks long, 6:05 to 7:35 p.m. We got snacks, we got daycare, childcare. There's no reason not to come, and so I hope you will. And what we're trying to do is provide a new class every semester. And so our hope is that you might say, I'm just going to go every semester, unless there's a reason I can't. I want to get down this highway. I want to go from where I am to where I need to be, and so I'm just going to every time take the new class. And so there will always be something for me to sign up for, and just to continue to grow in my knowledge of God, and to figure out what does a relationship with God, what does faith look like in my life. Okay, and so I hope that you'll sign up for one of those courses today. You can sign up at the Velcro Bar. The next step in the journey are microgroups, and so. After a person goes to Verve University course, we give you this opportunity, which we haven't done very well, but we're getting better at, of entering into a microgroup. A microgroup is a group of 3 to 5 guys or 3 to 5 girls, and they get together once a week, and it's just a chance to hang out for like an hour or so and to be encouraged. and to have some people who care about you and just build more relationships. And it's a place to be held accountable a little bit to this journey we're on. You know, say, hey, I want to grow. I want to know God better. I want to get down this highway. And so will you be people who support me in this journey? Most of the groups do this through using questions. Some groups use questions that are based on the message that you heard here this weekend, and so kind of processing through the message and how does it apply to our lives. And other groups use these questions that just kind of helped you to kind of dig into, man, how are we doing and really living the life that we're called to live and moving down this highway? If you have been to a Verve University course, you've completed one, but never gotten into a microgroup, we would love to work on getting you into a microgroup. And so today, if you go to the Velcro Bar, there's some sign-up cards for people who have taken Verve University and now want to get into a microgroup but haven't yet. You can sign up for that today. If you're like, man, I want to get in a microgroup, but I've never taken a Verve University course, take a Verve University course, and then we will work on getting you into a microgroup. The next thing is leadership community, which is a little group of people who get together once a month, and it's people who have taken Verve University courses, are in a microgroup, who tithe and who invite their friends to church and have been stepping into leadership positions in the church. And together, I do some teaching and some training, and we talk about some Verve stuff. But the other thing I want you to notice is kind of going down the middle of this highway is this word volunteer. Because we have it going down the entire highway because it's always a good time to volunteer. And it's always, every point is a good point to jump into volunteering. And here's what you'll find if you volunteer. When we serve other people, we talked about this last week, the point is the other people, right? We don't serve for our own benefit. We serve to serve other people. However, the simple reality is that when you serve other people, it's not just other people's lives who are changed. Your life is changed as well. In fact, it's often true that your life is the life that's most profoundly transformed through the act of serving. And so volunteering has to be a critical part in this journey. And we found that the people at Verve who are growing are people who are volunteering, and they're taking part in these other opportunities. The people who aren't growing are the people who aren't doing these things. And so now, if you haven't yet found a place to volunteer here at Verve, I want to strongly encourage you to do this, not because we need you. What we talked about last week, we do need you. But even if we didn't need you, if we were overflowing with volunteers, I'd say still you have to do this because it is a critical piece of moving you in this journey forward towards, you know, towards God and the life that he has for you. And so maybe you find yourself in there and you say, man, I've been going to weekend services. My next step is to jump into a Verve University course or to start volunteering. Or maybe you realize I've gone to Verve University and never gotten to a microgroup. That's my next step. But hopefully seeing that, you kind of see this pattern that most people who are growing here follow. And you could do that as well. See, Verve is a place that's all about change. It's a place where lives are transformed by God, you know, through a relationship with Jesus. But one more thing, and it's really critical. Once your life has been changed by God, the normal reaction should be to invite your friends to meet the one who changed your life. Once your life has been transformed by God, the normal reaction is to invite your friends to meet the one who has transformed your life. See, the reality is that people all over are living lives of quiet desperation. You know, they may kind of show you that everything's great. When you ask them how they're doing, they always say fine. And we don't like to show, you know, this hole that we have in our soul. But honest people will admit that there is a vacuum inside of me. And if I don't have God, nothing fits that hole inside of me. And so people kind of cry out, but they cry out with silent cries for help. They don't tell you. They don't show you. But they know that there's something more and they're missing it. And it's up to us, people who have been transformed by God, to invite them to come meet the one who can transform their lives as well. We see this all throughout the Bible. Like in John chapter 4, there's a story of this woman. And this woman, she was rejected by everyone in her town. And the reason she was rejected is because she had slept around. And back in that time, that's just not something you did. And so everyone kind of made her the sinner, the outcast. You know, they had nothing to do with her. And she wanted nothing to do with them. She avoided them at all costs because she didn't want to see them sneer at her. She didn't want to hear their whispers about her. And so she did whatever she could to avoid them. Well, there's this one day where this woman meets Jesus. She has this encounter with him, and as does with everyone, her life is transformed by meeting Jesus. And do you know what she does? She goes directly to the people who she has so desperately been trying to avoid. And she goes to them and she says, "You need to come out and meet this person who has changed my life." Even though she didn't like being around those people, she couldn't help but invite them to meet the one who changed her. And God took this woman's life, and not only did he change her, but he made her into a change agent. See, the normal reaction when your life has been changed by God is to invite people to meet the one who changed your life. And you know what's really cool is that that happens here a lot. I mentioned earlier the story of Paul, who's just seen his life really change here at Verve these last almost 2 years. Do you know how Paul came to Verve? He was invited by Chris Riedel. And how cool of that is that for Chris Riedel? Right? For Chris to realize, man, God has done this incredible thing in Paul's life where Paul is a changed person. He has been transformed. But for Chris to know that Chris is the one who initiated that entire process by inviting Paul in the first place. And you know, most of the people who come here, like in that video, almost everybody in that video, they were invited by someone. Someone whose life had been changed, and they said, "I can't be selfish with this. I need to let other people know. I need to invite them so that they can come here and have an encounter with Jesus. They can come here and have the opportunity to be transformed by God." And think about this. How cool would it be for you to see someone in a video like that, maybe a year from now, you know, to see this person talking about the great thing that God's done in their life and to realize, I initiated that process because I invited that person to come here for the first time. Listen, if your life has been transformed, then the normal reaction is to invite people to come and meet the one who's transformed your life. Not only does God want to change you, but God wants to use you to be a change agent. He wants you to share the transformation that you've experienced with other people. Not only does he want to turn your life upside down, but he wants to use you to turn the world upside down. And God can do it because his specialty is transforming the ordinary into the extraordinary. And we are a transformed tribe. Let's pray. God, thank you for the amazing thing that you've been doing in this place. God, we are transformed people. You know, there are a bunch of people in this room who, through coming here and maybe first venturing in very nervous to this service and wanting to sit in the back and not talk to anybody because, you know, we figured I'm probably not going to be back here. I don't want to give out my name and number or anything like that. And then starting to feel comfortable and coming back and maybe jumping into a Verve University course for 6 weeks and getting some of our questions answered and figuring out what this process of relationship with you, God, and transformation can look like in my life, what faith would look like played out in my life. And for a lot of us, getting into a micro group and starting to build some friendships with people who can help me and encourage me and support me through this journey. And God, you've done something here. You have changed lives through this church. And we thank you, God, that Verve is a transformed tribe. God, our prayer is that would always be true of this church, that lives would just continually be changed here. God, we thank you for the two people this afternoon who are going to go out and are going to give their lives to you in baptism, saying, "I accept you, Jesus, as the Savior of my life, as the leader of my life, and I want to begin this journey with you. I want to go from what I am to what I need to be, from where I am to where I need to be. God, do your work in me. Make me someone who may be ordinary right now, but make me into something extraordinary. God, use my life." God, would you continue to do that in this place? Thank you for being such an awesome God that you can do great things in the lives of ordinary idiots like me. God, All the glory for everything that happens goes to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.